Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show.
Boom.
Good afternoon, Patriots, and welcome back to another episode of Occam's Razor. I'm sitting here drinking coffee from my official, copywritten, Zoso Dude Mystery Ship Insurrection Day mug. Little slight adjustment to today's broadcast. Abe is unable to make the show. He needs our thoughts and prayers, guys. Abe has some stuff going on with his truck on top of everything else he's dealing with, so just continue to keep Abe in your prayers. And I'm sure he'll be back again next week. We have a lot to talk about, guys. A lot to talk about. Got a number of different lawsuits. FBI, DOJ, Dominion Voting Systems. You gotta love it. We have a lawsuit against the corrupt Secretary of State of Michigan, Jocelyn Benson. You've got a whistleblower from the FBI that's been identified. It's got good stuff written all over it. But, of course, it wouldn't be a day in the news without a little bit of the mix of the good and the bad. So, we're going to bring it all to you today. Thank you for hanging out with me. Don't forget to hit that red pill over there on Foxhole. Don't forget to hit the plus sign over on Rumble. And without further ado, please sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn. And here is a special message from the sponsor of this program. And let's get into it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all being here. As I said, we have a lot to discuss. And check this out. I wanted to make sure I also gave major props to my friends at the Foxhole. Now, a savvy viewer made these Foxhole coasters and sent them to me. And I keep them here on my desk. I keep them on my coffee table. And so that way, when I'm drinking my coffee prepared by Real Red Pill Fiance, and provided by Zoso Dude, make sure you're following Zoso Dude over on the Foxhole, then I like to relax and take a look at the news and see what's cracking off. Did you guys happen to see that I made CNN yesterday? Not just me, but a whole bunch of patriots made CNN yesterday, and CNN came out in full force to attack our friend J.R. Majewski. They're accusing him of some very heinous things, but typical, like the mainstream media does. They're using straw man arguments to try to attack JR, take him down, and stop veterans and people who are patriots of this nation from voting for him. But here's what CNN doesn't know. The people of America are not as stupid as they believe them to be. JR Majewski is a man of honesty. He's a man of integrity. And there's no way that JR would be making false claims about his military service record because he knows that people can look that stuff up. I mean, there have been times where people have made claims about their service, and I went to JR and I said, hey, help me determine whether or not this person is being truthful or not. And he was able to do that. Now, since this article came out on the AP and all of these other places, immediately I started noticing an increase of shills on Truth Social. people who were joining Truth Social simply for the express reason of coming after JR and trying to make it appear as if he is not a good guy, that he's somehow guilty of stolen valor. Who was the Democrat who's still in office that was actually guilty of stolen valor, guys? I can't remember his name. He's got a weird looking face and he's from the Northeast. He claimed that he was in Vietnam and he was not in Vietnam. Absolutely lied about who he was. Let me see. Tommy the Scott says, I was just in St. Augustine. I wish I could have met up with you and bought you and your fiance dinner. Hey, man, that would have been really sweet. You know, hit me up by email, you guys. And if it's possible that I can meet you for dinner or something, I'll totally go out and hang out with you guys. It's obviously difficult for me to get away. I've got a lot going on here at the house. We're still working on the house, trying to get things up to par, and it's probably going to be a job that's going ongoing for a long time. Angela says, hi, Zach. Thank you for all you do, and I hope that you and Lisa are enjoying Florida. Try Mezzalunas by Publix. I have actually seen Mezzalunas when we're driving around. I don't exactly know where it is, but I know I've seen the name, and I'm sure I've seen it when I was checking for places to eat, too. We'll go ahead and check that out. Blumenthal. Thank you, Lukester. Blumenthal. Blumenthal was guilty of stolen valor. And so, you know, anytime the Democrats try to come and attack people on the right, it's because they have nothing better to say. They cannot attack J.R. Majewski on the issues. They can't attack any Republicans on the issues. Would you like to see what it looks like when a Democrat tries to attack on the issues? This right here, this is Stacey Abrams, and I can't even with Stacey Abrams. I've got a real problem with this woman. Let's take a look. RP Solo. There we go. Stacey Abrams did a panel, and she claims that there is no such thing as a fetal heartbeat at 6 weeks, that it's a manufactured sound. There is no such thing as a heartbeat. It's a manufactured sound designed to convince people that men have the right to take control of a woman's body away from her. This is actually something that is scientifically proven. Women and men who are having babies all the time, they will go to an obstetrician, an OBGYN, and they can actually get a sonogram, and it'll show them the heartbeat. In fact, I have one such instance of a fetal heartbeat at 6 weeks, and I'm going to play it for you guys.
Here we go. I hope this brings...
It's going to be cold. Mm-hmm. So, give me a minute, okay?
Okay.
It doesn't mean anything bad.
Okay.
Take a listen. And somebody send this video to Stacey Abrams.
Make sure I see a heartbeat.
Looking for the baby.
Wrong. Okay.
Take a listen.
Very
right here.
News, okay?
Okay.
So now I can focus on showing you. 1 second. There we go. Right there.
Trust the science, Stacey Abrams. That's a baby. That's the heartbeat of a baby. At 6 weeks old, it's not simply a lump of cells. It's not about men trying to control what women do and what they handle with their bodies with or what medical decisions they make. You know, it takes two people to make a baby. Two people to put a baby inside a woman. Without a man and a woman, okay, you cannot do that. And when a pregnancy happens, that's a decision that should be made with both a man and a woman. And if that baby is going to be born, then you have no right to take the father out of the scenario, out of the situation like that. This has nothing to do with me or anybody else who's a man wanting to control what you do with your body. Okay, this is about life, the creation of life, which is one of the most sacrosanct things that I can possibly imagine. Stacey Abrams, trust the science. That's a baby. That's what a baby sounds like. But Stacey Abrams doesn't know much, does she? And that's probably why she lost the governor's race. That's probably why she had to be involved in cheating with her nonprofit organization. That's probably why she was directly engaged in ballot trafficking down there in Georgia. So here we have a quote from Healthline. A fetal heartbeat may first be detected by a vaginal ultrasound as early as five and a half weeks to 6 weeks of gestation. That's when a fetal pole, the first visible sign of a developing embryo, can be seen. But between 6.5 to 7 weeks, a heartbeat can be better assessed. That's when the doctor may schedule your first abdominal or vaginal ultrasound to check for signs of a healthy developing baby. Stacey Abrams. Is Stacey Abrams a doctor? Stacey Abrams, MD, has thoughts, people. Stacey Abrams, if you wish to be educated, I'd be more than happy to show you the actual heartbeat of a six-week-old fetus. It's not an imaginary thing, no matter how much you want it to be. I think that person is making fun of Stacey Abrams because she's not a doctor, as far as I know. Stacey Abrams doesn't know much. She certainly doesn't know much about medicine. And this is an argument that Stacey and the Democrats want to make so that they have the right to kill your baby, so that they have the right to sacrifice that child to the demonic forces that they worship, that they represent. It's absolutely nothing to do with healthcare. You know, there are times where certain conversations can be had, but this is not one of them. This is not one of them. All right. Control, destruction of America. These are the things the Democrats are involved in. What are the Republicans involved in? What are people on the right? What are patriots involved in? We're involved in saving this nation. We're involved in preserving our rights and preserving our liberty. Meanwhile, the federal government, Stacey Abrams and her ilk, they want to destroy our rights. They want to take away our liberties. They can't. They can't really at the end of the day, because even if they come down on us in some type of authoritarian system, people are going to rise up at some point. They're not going to take it for long. I mean, take a look right now at what's happening in Iran. Let me pull this up for you. Somebody had asked me yesterday, you know, are the people in Iran on the right or are they on the left? And, you know, I mean, generally speaking, you know, left is liberal, right is conservative. But I think that it's a lot more complicated when we're looking at a place like Iran, because yes, it is a conservative fundamentalist Islam that is basically being fought against. But I don't think that you can just make one choice one way or the other. I think these people are rising up against tyranny. They're rising up against the control that they have been under for decades. And I'm sure everyone here is aware of the way that control came about. I mean, the United States government many years ago deposed a democratically elected president there in Iran, and we installed the Shah of Iran. Now, the Shah of Iran was also a totalitarian. He had a lot of constraints put on people. Essentially, he was there to open the doors for the United States and Western nations to come in and plunder the nation of Iran. So the response to that was the installation of the mullahs and the installation of hardcore fundamentalist Islam. Well, now that pendulum has swung back again and the people are fighting back against it. And I'm sorry, I'm unable to find that video that I was trying to share with you. Maybe I'll have somebody send it. The Ayatollah is considered right. Okay, you know, I mean, that's kind of what I thought of. But I mean, it's, you say that the Ayatollah is right, and then you say that we're on the right. You know, it's a very different thing. I mean, the Ayatollah would be like, you know, way out here. Very, very different than patriot right, as I think we would consider ourselves. Okay. Oh, you guys, this is actually something that I told you about some time ago. Do you remember when I told you, just kind of in passing, that I was told by a source, a friend of mine who was directly involved, that the evidence of election fraud had been handed off to Bill Barr? Bill Barr had claimed that the DOJ and he had not seen any type of evidence to suggest that any election fraud or ballot trafficking or any of that took place. Well, my friend who directly handed that information off to Bill Barr let me know that that was absolutely a lie. Well, back in December of 2020, that's when Bill Barr said that there was no widespread evidence of voter fraud. And the situation I'm talking about happened before that. So now I guess somebody has done some FOIA requests. This is Trump advisor Jeffrey Clark that's talking, the director of litigation at the Center for Renewing America. He was on War Room with Steve Bannon earlier today. He put in a number of FOIA requests and determined that there actually was no investigation and they weren't looking for any election fraud. They weren't actually trying to determine whether or not the election had been stolen. And, you know, this is going to be a scenario where I think you guys are going to have to make up your own minds on it. You know, the idea of Bill Barr being a good guy, is Bill Barr a tool of the deep state? And did he therefore not look into election fraud because there is this idea that America had to go down this certain path so that the rest of the people would wake up? Or is Bill Barr, you know, playing a role and ensuring that this is happening so that we can come to a mass awakening? I really don't know. I have absolutely no idea. At this point, all I can say is that I know Bill Barr was given information proving election fraud and ballot trafficking took place. I know Bill Barr did not act on it. I know that Bill Barr said that they were looking into it, and I know that Bill Barr actually didn't. So regardless of whatever actually happened, you know, I think that this is the thing that's going to end up playing out over the course of time. We'll find out when it's time for us to find out. And until that time, really not much else is going to happen. Now, on the subject of election fraud, this is pretty huge, my friends. This is pretty huge. Fulton County, Pennsylvania is now suing Dominion Voting Systems. This is a completely different breed of lawsuit in comparison to, like, say, Rudy Giuliani or Sidney Powell or anybody else on Trump's legal teams trying to bring suit against a state or against one of these voting machine companies. This is a county that used Dominion Voting Systems equipment, and they realized that they were being lied to, they were being misled. Real quick, let me see if there's anything over here. Nikki the Greek and Jennifer, thank you very much. Jennifer said, let's get this party started. Filter Dog and Just Josie, as well as Judy the Lady Pug dropping cookies. Sean Joe as well. Don First, We the People says, have a good day. And Patriot Bird says, much love, RP. Thank you very much. Let me see. Oh, that's enough right there, Zach. Old Saucy. Barr's a crook. Yeah, okay. You know, I mean, here's the thing. I can see that. But for me, I feel like you guys know me by now. You know, I mean, I don't like to make snap judgments on things. I think that there is a possibility. I can see how it would be playing out both ways. And, you know, it's difficult for people to reconcile the idea that, you know, maybe America would need to go through difficult times in order to come out on the other side stronger, to come out on the other side with a larger number of people who really understand that the system has to be fundamentally changed, and that to get there, it would require a significant amount of pain in order for people to be woken up. I can see how that would be the case. But at the same time, I can totally see that maybe Bill Barr is just a spook and a tool of the deep state, you know, because every time Bill Barr does something to make me that he is a total black hat, you know, then he turns around. Like the other day, he absolutely defended President Trump to the new lawsuit coming from Letitia James. You know, I don't know. I really don't know. And that's why I say you guys go ahead and make up your own minds on that one, because I'm on the fence about Bill Barr. Time will tell. And that's really how it is. You know, here's the other thing, guys. At the end of the day, I feel like there is so much happening all around us. That to get hung up on, you know, single issues like that, it just doesn't do us any service. So I like to look at situations like Fulton County suing Dominion Voting Systems for, you know, misleading them. So what the lawsuit alleges, it focuses on violations of the contract they had with Dominion Voting Systems. We know that these machines were not certified. We know that they were not certifiable. We know that the machines were supposed to not have access to the internet. However, they definitely had the ability to reach out and make connections, or for people on the outside to hack into them and to make connections either. And they also allege that there were foreign databases and foreign scripts that were found on the machines. We also know this to be true. We've talked about all of these things. This is the kind of stuff that we as individual citizens have been trying to raise awareness with and trying to say, you know, hey, we just got to get this in front of a judge. We need to make sure that everybody is aware of all of these inherent vulnerabilities that are present in something like a Dominion Voting Systems machine or an ESNS machine. They certainly have no security on them. And if they have no security, then how can we justify their continued usage? How can we justify these multi-million dollar contracts that are going out to these companies? And how can we justify them when we have people like Eric Coomer that were working there that were saying some really horrific things and certainly having the appearance of being biased towards one candidate or another? It's unacceptable, and it's something that I think every single county all across this nation is going to have to, they're going to have to adjudicate it on their own. So I'm very happy to see that Fulton County is doing just that. So some of these claims are on par with the debunked rumors associated with the most secure election ever. We also have internet connectivity, outdated security protocols, remote accessibility, random USBs. All of these things we said were happening, and we were told we were crazy for believing them and for talking about them. Certainly, Dominion Voting Systems denied that any of this stuff was true, but we've seen it to be true. We've seen it over and over and over again. The evidence in this case is coming from a report that was issued by a man named Eric Speckin. This was actually reported on by the Gateway Pundit in the last week. So here are some bullet points from the lawsuit. On or after November 2020, Fulton County became aware of severe anomalies in the Dominion voting systems due to the inaccuracy or inability to reconcile voter data with votes actually cast and counted, tabulated by the system in Fulton County. That's a pretty big problem. If you are paying millions of dollars to gain access to electronic voting machines whose sole purpose is to keep track of the votes, reconcile the people who are legally allowed to vote, and match them up to ensure that they are the same in terms of what happened on Election Day, if you can't verify that, then you certainly should not be paying for it. Let me see. Mike Church says, I think Barr is paid off. It's obvious because the fraud evidence is prolific across many fronts in the election system. I wanted to trust Barr till he showed his hand. The truth is blatant. Yeah, you know, like I said, everybody's got their, where are you going? What do you mean, where am I going? I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to stay, homies. Let me see. Patriot Bird Nakaz says, have a safe trip and hope we get some awesome interviews. I'm not going anywhere. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm staying here, guys. I am here until later this month. Later this month, I'm going someplace. I can't talk about it yet. As soon as I get the okay, I will talk about it. But thank you very much. Warrior Mima, thank you very much for that. And then also to Sean Joe. Okay, guys, continuing on. On or after November 2020, Fulton County became aware of certain factors and aspects of the Dominion voting systems that did not meet the conditions of certification set forth in the January 2019, February 2019 certification report. If the election machines were not certified as of the election of 2020, if the election machines were.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
They're not certifiable, i.e. they could not or never have been certified. Except for, you know, years ago, then how could they legally have been put into use in November of 2020? Who told these counties that the machines were up to snuff and that they would factually deliver the results of what truly happened on those days in November all across this nation? It sounds to me like there is fraud on behalf of Dominion Voting Systems. Also, if Fulton County is able to successfully I went to Ohio over this past weekend, but now I'm back. I came back on Sunday night. Who is it? I mean, logically, who is it that would have lied about this stuff? I mean, it sounds like it would have been Dominion pretending their machines were certified, pretending their machines were going to deliver accurate information. And if Fulton County wins this suit, it's going to open them up all across the nation. It gives the possibility for other counties to also take action. And I hope that other counties are paying attention. I hope that other counties have people who are worth a salt, who are going to be willing to take a look at this. Because, you know, as you guys know, man, we've seen countless times people in positions of authority on elections commissions. They're just not willing to look at it. It's really frustrating. In addition, Fulton County was informed of additional anomalies and problems in Dominion voting systems via an expert report written by J. Alex Haldeman. J. Alex Haldeman, the Haldeman report. That was so good. The cure is becoming worse than the disease. The collateral damage is overshadowing the benefits, Red Pill said. I didn't see your earlier letting our country circle the bull just to wake up normal. Now, and don't get me wrong, I don't mean to oversimplify it. I don't believe that's exactly what's happening. I think that I've said this a number of times before. I don't think it's possible for one person or one group of people to just come in and say, guess what? We're going to fix the country. We have all of these systemic problems. We have all of this corruption, all of this criminal activity in all of these different areas, federal offices, in federal agencies. I mean, the problem is just too big, you guys. So how does that happen? How do we fix that? The only way to do it is to do it gradually. Now, is it possible that President Trump could have had a heavy hand in the first term? I think so. I think that he certainly could have. I never got to meet President Trump, you guys. No, I didn't get to meet President. Maybe sometime in the future. But let's just role play this and think for a second. If President Trump would have had a heavy hand in his first term, considering all of the blockages he ran into, all the investigations, all of the claims against him, you know, could he have been successful? I think that he might have been looking at some type of a coup or a military coup. And I don't think it's as simple as, you know, everybody is just like, hey, you know, we're just going to let the world go to shit. We're going to let the country, you know, suffer and everybody lose all their money and everybody die so that we can prove that everything's corrupt. I mean, a lot of people knew it was corrupt already. But I think that that is an aspect of it. And so when President Trump comes back, we're going to be in a remarkably different position because most everybody is going to already be aware of how corrupt the system is. Most people are going to be aware of the changes that are necessary, and the country is going to demand changes, not just changes in politicians, not just changes in the structure of the federal government, changes essentially to every aspect of the way we do business. We got to get rid of the grooming of kids. We got to get rid of the corrupt central banking system. Got to get rid of these corrupt politicians. We need to elect people who are going to do the will of the people. Because it has to be a collective effort. It has to be across the board. It's not enough to have President Trump, Jim Jordan, Rand Paul, you know, I mean, just a couple of individuals. We need real systemic change across the board. And I think the only way that was going to happen was in the way that we're seeing it happen. The Democrat Party is not going to exist very soon. That's because everything they've done has destroyed the nation. Every decision they've made has whittled away at our liberties and our rights and our freedoms. I just don't think that it was possible to do it any other way. When you have a problem this large, the only way to go about fixing it is to slowly make that change happen. It has to be organic. You know, we don't want a civil war. We didn't want bloodshed in the streets. I know President Trump didn't. I know that the people that are around him didn't either. So I really, truly believe this is the only way to make it happen. We are going to start over, you guys, but we needed to do it the correct way. All right, so the Haldeman report, that was a shocking report on the status of voting machines and the legal activity that was taking place. In this declaration, Halderman described numerous security vulnerabilities in Dominion software, including flaws that would allow attackers to install malicious software, either with temporary or physical access, such as that of voters in polling places. So if you're a voter, you show up at one of these voting machines and you insert a USB drive, then go ahead and take over, probably jump from machine to machine. Also, you could do it remotely, which they showed people doing through like smart thermostats and stuff like that. Oh, today is the anniversary of the Iran and Iraq war. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I had no idea. The reason I'm talking about it is because there's the demonstrations going on right now, and I've had a number of people send me videos of it. You know, I think the people of Iran have suffered for a long time, and you know, I'm not that versed on the causes behind the Iran and Iraq war. I know that the United States supported Iraq, and I think that was kind of some get back at Iran for kicking us out some years before that. I am not a war hawk, you guys. I think that the United States, by and large, needs to stay out of. We need to take care of our own nation. We need to take care of our own people, and only then we'd be able to fix all these problems. Let's see, Low Country Brooklyn, crossing the Rubicon episode with Red Pill 78, Bill Barr election info. That's right. It was Nate Kane. I couldn't remember if I had actually said it on the channel before. So when Halderman wrote this report, he described these vulnerabilities that still existed. Now, they could be fixed, but that thing would take months for Dominion to assess the problems, develop responsive software updates, to test them, to obtain any necessary approvals from the Election Assistance Commission and from state-level authorities to distribute the software out there. Oh, what's going on over here? I think POTUS Trump told us Shah was beloved. Yeah, the Shah was beloved? I don't know about that. I don't know that the Shah was beloved. I've heard some nasty things about the Shah. I think that the democratically elected government before the Shah was fairly beloved. I think the Shah was beloved in comparison to the extremist Muslim government they have right now. I think that pretty much anything would be better than that. But Mossadegh, wasn't it Mossadegh that was in power before the Shah? Mossadegh nationalized all the oil industry, kicked out Britain, he kicked out the United States, and that's why we installed the Shah. The revolution that installed the Shah was a color revolution in the same way the United States, the State Department, and the CIA has engaged in nation building and color revolutions all over the world. So, you know, I like I said, I wasn't there, but this is what I've been told. Let's see. Shannon Loves Sharks says, Zach, I'm originally from Taiwan and my family's still there. None of the folks in Taiwan think that a Chinese invasion will be in the picture ever, but intimidation tactics will certainly be deployed. Thank you very much for that, Shannon. You know, I've always thought that an invasion of Taiwan by China would be very, very costly for the world and certainly would make China look bad and would end up creating a response from a lot of Western nations. But under the Biden regime, it's become more and more likely. Now, hopefully, China never invades Taiwan because that would be bad for everyone. Okay, it looks like it's Sterling's birthday. Happy birthday, Sterling. Good to see you. The Shah was cabal, no doubt. Yeah. I think the Shah was definitely cabal. I mean, the Shah was just another corrupt U.S.-installed government that allowed for intelligence agencies and for oil companies to go over there and plunder the wealth of the Iranian people. That's the way that I see it. All right, so long and the short of it is the non-certified stuff all over these voting machines made them basically illegal to be used in the election. And there were changes that were made to these machines prior to the election, which also would have further decertified them. There were no inspections of the Dominion voting machines. Everything that Fulton County is bringing to the table can be verified. It can be verified, double, triple, quadruple verified. And I think that they're going to have their day in court. This is not about overturning the results of an election. This is about a private corporation taking on a public duty administration of an election. They lied to the people of the government. They lied. No, the Shah was a good guy. All right. You know, I mean, you know, I think that there are some people who think that the Shah was a good guy and some people who thought the Shah wasn't a good guy. Again, in comparison to the radical Islamic government that is in control now, in comparison to the mullahs, yeah, the Shah was a good guy. But we're talking about a spectrum here. I'm just going to go back to the idea that the United States overthrew a democratically elected government in Iran to install the Shah. And therefore, based upon that alone, I think that the Iranian people were given a bad deal. Definitely people profited under the Shah, but they profited because it was a U.S. installed government. It would be like, you know, if the United States overthrew Justin Trudeau and installed a leader there that was sympathetic to what the United States wanted to do and let us go up there and plunder their oil sands. Yes, people would prosper. Certainly other people wouldn't. So, you know, that's it. That's it. Yes, he was good to Archibald. That's what I believe too. I you know, I don't know. We're getting in the weeds on this. I don't think we need to get in the weeds on it. Thank you to Sean Joe and Warrior Mima. She said, I read comments and thought you were going somewhere. My bad. Oh, it's not a problem. I appreciate you looking out for me. Lou Ann V says the machines do exactly what is intended. How dare we question the overlords? You're absolutely right. These machines would not be uncertifiable. These machines would not be insecure. These machines would not include this code if it wasn't for the fact that Dominion Voting Systems, these other voting machine companies, intended for them to have that. There are a very clear-cut set of certifications that are required to exist on these machines in a certain way. And if they're not meeting that, well, that's the fault of the manufacturers of those machines. As an example, can you guys think of any other industry that could fail so spectacularly at their job and just get away with it? If I buy a Chevy Cruze, or give me any other car, a Ford F-150, if I buy an American car and the seatbelts are faulty and you can't put them on, so then you have to drive without them, or if when you get into an accident, the airbags don't pop off and you die, that would be the fault of the manufacturers of those vehicles, and the government would force them to fix them. Why isn't the government forcing the election machine companies to fix their damn machines? Why are we, the American people, being forced to use these substandard systems so that we can't trust the results of our own election? It doesn't make any sense. The only answer to that is, and I revert to Occam's razor right here, is because those insecurities and vulnerabilities are intentionally included in there. That's the only thing that makes any sense. The only thing that makes any sense. Okay, so who else is getting sued? The FBI and the DOJ. Mike Lindell is suing them for violating his constitutional rights. He's including Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray in that lawsuit. I wish that I had JR here so that JR could do his impression of Mike Lindell. But he said, I've been on the phone with some of the best lawyers in the country, and I met Mike Lindell this weekend. Finally, he was a great guy. We took a picture together. Alan Dershowitz, Andrew Parker, Kurt Olson, amongst others, we are suing the United States government and the FBI. My First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights were broken. We're not going to put up with this. We're not going to be the Gestapo like in Nazi Germany. We got all the lawyers on the phone. They looked up all these statutes. We're going places where no man has gone before. This will set a precedent. This has to stop. Now, Mike Lindell can actually do this, guys. People like us, we don't have money to spend on lawyers. We simply just can't expend the amount of energy and the amount of capital that is required to take on something like the United States government. We can support Mike Lindell, we can buy MyPillow, we can use code RP78, and we can ensure that Mike is able to follow through on his promises to take on the United States government. It's always been people like Donald Trump, people like Mike Lindell, who have been blessed by their business acumen, who have the ability to go after gigantic Goliaths like this. And so I support Mike Lindell, absolutely love Mike Lindell, I'm glad that he's doing this. But it doesn't stop there. We continue to fight back in Michigan, my old home state, my original birth state. state of Michigan, Jocelyn Benson. She is connected to George Soros and his political machine. Well, an election integrity group, they're a grassroots organization called Pure Integrity Michigan Elections, filed a lawsuit against Jocelyn Benson. RP78, Filter Dog 1, RP78. Yes, RP78. You can use code RP78. So they are filing suit against Jocelyn Benson for violating HAVA, which is the Help America Vote Act, because she contracted with ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center, under the auspices of cleaning up the voter rolls. Now, we know what ERIC actually did. They used their access to the voter roll to determine which people were eligible voters that actually didn't vote, so then they would know how many ballots they could use to pad totals. This is what they did in Michigan. We know they did this in Wisconsin. Any place where ERIC was present, this was the behavior that they were engaging in. So this is nothing new, but having this lawsuit against Jocelyn Benson for doing so, that is. Jocelyn Benson oversees the Bureau of Elections, and she is breaching federal law by engaging in this practice with a partisan political organization. It would be one thing if ERIC was truly a nonpartisan organization, but we know that they have deep ties to the DNC. They have deep ties to the radical left. Now, we need to ensure that other secretaries of state who also gave unfettered access to their voter rolls to ERIC and to any other organization such as this can also be brought in on the action, because we simply cannot allow this to happen. So what is HAVA, you guys? You might remember this requires the secretary of state to maintain and implement a qualified voter file. This is a secured voter list that is used by the Bureau of Elections and all of the clerks in Michigan and in other states without any outside assistance. But what Benson did was violated the federal law by contracting the Electronic Registration Information Center to actually maintain and implement Michigan's qualified voter file that gave them the inside baseball that they needed to understand just how many ballots they could pad the system with. They knew how many ballots were out there. They knew how many registered voters there were. It didn't matter if they actually lived in the state or they were alive or not. Yes. Yeah. Filter Dog 1, JR Service can easily be looked up. It's total fake news. Absolute fake news. Yes. And you say, you know, it's fake. I was just saying they're writing all this BS. Yeah. You know, I mean, I talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show, and that's really all the air I'm going to give to it, because, like I said, Democrats have engaged in the actual activity of stealing valor for a long time. And, you know, nothing ever happens to them. The only reason they're fighting back against JR in such a manner, the only reason they're fighting against Ron DeSantis and President Donald Trump, is because they know they're losing. They know that they can't attack on the issues because the issues that they are supporting have destroyed America. So instead, they have to go after straw man arguments like this, try to obfuscate the issues, drive wedges between patriotic American citizens. They know that we care about the armed forces. We know that we care about people who serve their government. Let's see, all of them. All of them are liars, and they're not going to win. We are going to win. JR is going to dethrone Marcy Kaptur. He's going to be the new representative for Ohio's 9th District, and he's going to lead the Ohio caucus. JR is a leader. JR knows his stuff. He's a very intelligent man. He served his country honorably, valiantly. They are not going to be able to destroy J.R. Majewski based upon lies like this. So, another win that I wanted to identify for you guys. We have heard about a number of whistleblowers coming out of the FBI in recent months. Well, we have just had the identity of one such FBI whistleblower be revealed. His name is Special Agent Steve Friend. He's actually gone public, and he is the one who exposed the FBI taking bodies off of child trafficking and child pornography cases to move them onto fake patriot extremist cases. We actually have video of it. Hold on just a second. This is from Tucker. Let's take a listen to Tucker.
Yeah.
A whistleblower from within the FBI recently revealed that the Biden administration is manipulating the way January 6th case files are maintained. The goal of this is to create the illusion, the false sense that there is a tidal wave of right-wing domestic terrorism all over the country. But it's a lie, because there isn't. Miranda Devine of the New York Post has identified this FBI whistleblower and spoken directly to him. She joins us tonight. Miranda, thanks so much for coming on. What did you learn?
Thanks, Tucker. Well, I learned that Stephen Friend, FBI special agent still serving, who was suspended on Monday, is an American hero. You know, he had the dream job. He's been with the FBI for 12 years. He's a SWAT team member. But he just could not live with his conscience after he was dragged off these very important child porn, child exploitation, human trafficking investigations that he was working on, and put on these really bogus January 6 cases that just serve to, I guess, back up the rhetoric that we're hearing from the White House that domestic terrorism is the worst threat to America since the Civil War. And so he could see from on the ground how the FBI Washington field office was manipulating these cases to try and expand and pretend that the problem was bigger than it was. And he also didn't want to participate in SWAT raids on people who had just were being, you know, accused of misdemeanors at worst, innocent American citizens. And, you know, they were being told to investigate people who hadn't even gone to Washington, D.C. that day. In one case, a man had been at his son's funeral that day, yet he had FBI agents knocking on his door. People were being surveilled. This is just such an abuse of their civil rights. And Steve Friend stood up and said, I will not do this. He did everything the right way. He complained to his all his supervisors. He told them what FBI rules were being violated and what policies were not being followed and what constitutional rights of American citizens were being abused. And he was ignored. He was threatened. And he's now, this afternoon, filed a whistleblower complaint with the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz. And he's also been talking to Senator Chuck Grassley and some of the Republicans.
Boom, talking to Grassley. Yes, he was suspended, Filter Dog 1. He was escorted out of the building. This is some information about it here. He spoke out against the Bureau brass. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He complained to the right people. He blew the whistle, and he was forced out of the FBI. Now, I think he's probably just on suspension because he's a whistleblower, and legally they can't take retribution against him for speaking out against something that he saw that really shouldn't have happened. But here is what they are saying is the restricted Capitol grounds. Now, all of this area was open on January 6th. I mean, there was no clear sign saying that people were not allowed to be here. I think that this is an arbitrary line that they drew specifically to catch people. And, you know, I mean, if we can be honest, I mean, there were probably hundreds of thousands of people who walked only to the Capitol that day. I mean, we're talking millions of people all over Washington, D.C. But here alone, this entire area was full of bodies. All right. And you look down this road right here, these two roads right here, shooting out in a V from the Capitol, and it was just people lined the entire street. So, you know, if they're going to come after every single person who was in Washington, D.C. that day, then it's going to be something we're going to have to be dealing with for the next several decades. Like, the Justice Department does not have enough resources to do this, and they don't have enough prison space to put all of these people away. It's absolutely incredible what they're doing. And I just want to say that Steve Friend, was that his name? Steve Friend? Agent Friend, anyways. Yes, Steve Friend. Steve Friend is an American hero. You know, how long have I been saying the good men and women of the FBI need to step forward? You know, how long are you going to sit back and watch as the FBI and the DOJ continues to attack people for crimes that aren't crimes, for things that don't matter? To know that the FBI leadership was telling people to stop working on child trafficking cases so that they could start working on January 6th Patriot cases, absolutely disgusting. Let's see. Yes, I would say that Lisa has done a fair amount to facilitate the success of the show, Mike. Yes, like I've told you before, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for Lisa. You know, she definitely pushed me into to getting out behind the microphone and actually starting to do this. Good stuff. And once again, I want to say thank you to Zoso Dude, all my friends right here on this mug. Bunch of good people there. Oh, if you weren't here at the beginning of the show, then you might have missed the coverage on CNN about JR yesterday and myself. And I think that In the Matrix and Shady Grove were on there. I think that Stormy Patriot Joe and who else? There was a whole bunch of people. Oh, The Storm Has Arrived 17 down there as well. All right. So moving on from Steve Friend, we also got some interesting news. President Trump did an interview last night with Sean Hannity, and in that interview with what happened here. Why can't I get this to come over? Let's try this. Okay. President Trump did an interview with Sean Hannity last night. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it. It was about 20 minutes long. He did talk a little bit about Letitia James's investigation into him. One thing that I actually saw liberals talking about on Twitter yesterday, they were saying that President Trump is going to end up in jail over this investigation from Letitia James. There is a difference between civil and criminal matters, and what Letitia James has filed with her lawsuit is a civil matter. It's not a question of President Trump having broken any crimes. What she's accusing him of is a civil matter, and President Trump is going to get his day in court. I don't believe that President Trump broke any laws. I don't believe that he did anything wrong in regards to the practices that he or his family engaged in. He also spoke out about the choice that he made for... Where is it? I guess I don't know what happened to it, guys. Hold on. President Trump spoke about why he chose the FISA court judge that he did. And here we go. Got it. So why did President Trump choose that FISA judge? He said he was stung badly. Why was he stung badly? President Trump, talking to Sean Hannity last night, explained why he wanted to choose Raymond Deary be the special master. And Hannity said that it was surprising. He said, well, the lawyers had a lot of, I don't know, any of the people that were involved. But, you know, if you look at it, he was stung badly because the FBI lied to him. The people and the people of the Justice Department all lied to him. So if you think about it, yes, he approved it and he got stung badly, very badly at that. So, you know, we'll see what happens. He's a respected man. I certainly hope that the special master makes the right decisions. But the appeals court has stepped in before the special master could actually say anything, because late on Tuesday, they told the 11th Court of Appeals that President Trump had failed to show that he declassified these documents at Mar-a-Lago. So the 11th Circuit Court and this filing was in response to President Trump seeking to stop the review of the classified documents and all the other documents that were taken from his home back in August. Now, they ended up siding with the Biden DOJ, and they lifted the hold that was barring them from being able to view these classified records. Special Master was the one who was supposed to go through that and determine what was classified, what was attorney-client privilege, and whether or not the FBI had any right to take the stuff that they took. Now, of course, President Trump's assertion is that he declassified all of this stuff, and I think it's been shown through precedent that President Trump, or any other president for that matter, can quite literally snap their fingers and say, this is now declassified, put it out to everybody, or it's declassified, it doesn't have to be kept here in this special room or anything like that. But of course, none of that matters to the corrupt Biden DOJ. And I'll answer that one in a second. Right, so the way this is going to play out is another instance of us just having to sit back and wait. I think at the end of the day, regardless of what the FBI or the DOJ wants, the special master is going to be able to tell us a lot more. And I am hoping that because Raymond Deary has, in fact, been lied to by the FBI and the DOJ, then it's going to be on the side of President Trump. You know, a lot of people looked at Raymond Deary and the choice of him at the very beginning, and they said, why would Trump choose this guy who approved all of this stuff? You know, the FISA court is like a rubber stamp, you guys. You know, that judge is sitting up there on the bench. The FBI and the DOJ come before them. They say, we have the secret stuff. We need to spy on these people. And you need to just trust us that, they did what we said they did. There is special overriding circumstances that allow us to violate the freedoms that they are supposed to receive under the Constitution. I know it's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and it's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. But these are domestic people, and we want to look at them, and, you know, this is the truth. And so, you know, the judge, 9 times out of 10, I guarantee you, they just trust them because it's the freaking FBI. It's the freaking DOJ. I mean, you're supposed to be able to trust them. Certainly, I mean, that's the way the system is built. Can you trust them all the time? Absolutely not. We know that that's the case. But do the FISA court judges, are they based enough to realize that? Probably not. I'm hoping that Raymond Deary is now going to have a lot more to think about when it comes to looking at this stuff now that it's in front of him. And it's this case that deals specifically with President Trump. So real quick, before we end here, this is a big win in Texas. Governor Abbott just designated Mexican drug cartels as terrorist organizations. I got to say, this is a move that I think was a long time coming. I'm surprised that it hadn't happened before. He announced this yesterday at a press conference in Midland. As far as what this is going to mean for the drug cartels, well, hopefully it's going to allow for federal dollars to be used to fight them. Hopefully it's going to mean that there's going to be an increased law enforcement presence. Make no mistake, it's directly connected to fentanyl. There was just a country music star who died of an accidental fentanyl overdose. Now, I don't listen to country, guys, but you can tell me if you know who this guy is. Luke Bell. You guys know who Luke Bell is? Luke Bell apparently died of an accidental fentanyl overdose. He was in a parking garage, and he was gone. He was dead for a couple of days before they found him. So either he went there to buy drugs and, like, did some and then passed away, or perhaps he was assassinated. I don't know. I don't know enough about Luke Bell to tell you whether or not he was a drug user or he was. Yeah, what took so long? You saw it here. I have no idea. I think that it should have been done a long time ago. Fentanyl is now the leading cause of death of Americans aged 18 to 45. 18 to 45, number one cause of death, fentanyl. All right. So it's certainly something that should have happened a long time ago. You know, every single day you open up the paper, you open up the internet and you take a look around and, you know, there is a story about somebody here in Flagler County. Dude was found with enough fentanyl to kill like 100,000 people, you know, all over the place. This guy, Nashville man, busted with enough fentanyl laced pills to kill roughly 150,000 people. There was a 13-year-old middle schooler in California who took something called rainbow fentanyl. I guess it looks like a sweet tart. Little girl died. There was also staff members at schools that find fentanyl on people. Police officers that find fentanyl on people, and they get just a little bit on their skin. They die. Fentanyl is, why is fentanyl being prescribed except for critical chronic issues? Not your everyday let me sleep. I think, as far as I know, fentanyl is only supposed to be prescribed for, for like cancer patients, stuff like that. I don't know if fentanyl is being prescribed for people who just have like chronic pain or anything like that. All of this fentanyl that we're seeing that's being found on like kids and by police officers and stuff and coming across the border, it's all from China. It is all fentanyl that is being produced on the black market and then is being smuggled in through the Mexican drug cartels. All right. Remaster, take it easy, buddy. Good to see you here today. I appreciate everybody hanging out with me. All right. So that's all I've got for you today. I have an interview with a Russian immigrant later on today. His name is Daniel. Last name. Not his last name. Anyways, I'm going to have it out here in just a little bit, probably around six. Daniel came here from Russia many years ago, and he has watched the slow decline of the United States. And so I asked him here to give us his perspective on what's going on. And he's also from Bastion, so it kind of plays together. Let me see. Over here on the foxhole, Master Goldsmith, thank you very much. Filter Dog 1, if you don't cut all the cancer out, it comes back 100%. Can't do this as a half measure, guys. It has to be 100%. Warrior Mima, thank you for that can. EO, good to see you. Much love to you and Red Pill Girlfriend. Also, you guys, I shared an update about Son of a Green Card from Methods over there on Truth Social. He is breathing on his own now. He's starting to move, and he's gone through a couple of procedures. So please, if you wouldn't mind, go to the GoFundMe. You can find it there on either me, EO, or Methods profiles. And you can just leave a prayer for him, his wife, and children, and the rest of their family. Warrior Mima says, I appreciate your reporting, Zach. Much love, Patriot. Thank you very much. I appreciate you as well. Thank you very much for everybody for hanging out. Yeah, fentanyl used in surgery. It is like the absolute, like, you know, like, I don't know. It's like the end-all, be-all of painkiller. You know, I mean, like, it's like surgeries, like when you're dying, when you got cancer. I mean, it's just, as far as I know, they're not just handing it out like they used to with Vicodin. Stuff like that. All right, let me see. I do have a couple of thank yous I got some letters, you guys, so let me say thank you. Oh, I need to say thank you to Annie. Annie sent a couple of natural pain relief balms. I appreciate that. Also, Robert in Tennessee and Scuba Snort. Scuba Snort, I don't know if you're here, but hopefully you hear this. Thank you very, very much, you guys. And then also over on Lisa's Cash App, not my Cash App. I don't own it. Nope, there is nothing over there. But over here on Buy Me a Coffee, maybe Elizabeth. Elizabeth says, I cannot see the evil currently in power allowing the midterms to happen. What are your thoughts? I think the midterms are going to happen. Now, this is not a presidential election. This is an election that's going to be administered individually in each of these states. I think it will happen. I think that we got to pray that it happens. That's certainly it. Lou Ann V says, here's a cup of coffee, and thank you very much. That is all. So, yeah, hopefully everything continues to play out. I think if the midterms don't happen, I don't even want to think about it. To be honest, I don't want to think about it. This is why it's important for each of us to have some part to play in your local elections. Make sure that you are volunteering. Make sure that you're a poll watcher. Make sure that you're running for office. We need to be the solution. We have to be the plan. We have to depose criminal leaders that have taken over our nation, and we have to start from the bottom. All right. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to pass out the gold pills over on the foxhole. And there you go. And I will be back later on this afternoon. Until that time, good luck. God bless. We'll see you tonight.